Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, welcome to VFN TV, the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, tell us what's going on, man. What's happening in your life? It's been so long since we spoke. Patrick?
Yes.
I'm older.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
He did. He's
You're
his
older.
50th.
Yes, but we're asking about you right now.
I like the way you kind of give that back all the time.
I don't want him to deflect right now. This is your moment, bro. Come on, talk to us. What's happening?
You need your cane?
I'm just learning how to love.
Oh, wow.
You've been on this thing for a while, learning how to love.
Don't mess with
him. There's nothing else.
Let him focus.
Leave him alone.
Good morning, Trees. Well, you know, if you missed the earlier programs, you've got to catch them. We're talking about, you know, God dancing. I know it's kind of, but, you know, and reverently thinking about a relationship with God as our Father and the prodigal Father. And you got to listen to that, get a perspective, because the more you know about how much God loves you, the more you're going to be compelled to love him back in a way which comes out in obedience. But you're compelled by your love for him. When you love, I mean, think about it. When this guy falls in love with this girl, I mean, the first thing he wants to know is, do you like flowers? What kind of flowers do you like? Do you like the Saints?
No.
Well,
you will learn.
You will.
Guaranteed.
You like DVD players? What do you like?
Falling truly in love with God, you want to know what God likes. You want to know what he wants because you love him. But if you look at the Bible as a book of rules, a little here, a little there, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be good because that's not who he is. He's a lover of your soul. He loves you and has a plan for your life. But we're going to be talking about in this program about moderate Islam being an oxymoron. So I remember talking with John Stenberger and where he's teaching a class in VFNU about the church and the Constitution and all that. And I was just so surprised at his answer. You know, his answer to America's situation was moderate. You know, we had to have moderate Muslims and moderate Christians, and then we can actually have America. But outside of moderate Christians and moderate Islam, you know, we can't. It's not going to work. And it's like a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian is the answer for America.
That's our hope, really.
Wow.
Yeah, and he had to take off to another meeting. We get a chance to really talk about that. And John's a really good guy. But the thing about it is, really. And so we'll be talking about the interview here today from CBN, talking about somebody who has firsthand knowledge of that and getting a perspective, because God loves Muslims. And but what does that mean? What does that actually mean? When you say a moderate Christian, you know, what does that mean as well? Plus, we'll get a chance to talk about how vulnerable we are as a nation. The truth is that walking outside of God, you know, think about this. Just throwing your chest out, throwing your nose up and saying you can do this without God, I mean, it's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
But when you see a nation doing that, when you see a nation's leaders doing that, and you know, a lot of the churches, not all the church, but a lot of the churches pretty much just left God's way of doing things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that anytime anybody tells you it's complicated, it's not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
He's God, you're not. This is what he says. That's what you do. It's because he loves you and because you love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And his grace is sufficient. And he, as you go, he shows you. And if you missed the earlier program about dancing with God and understanding these footprints and the saying, you got to hear that. It was just such a powerful analogy of what's going on. But, you know, we're going to be having Youssef. I think it's,
the son of Hamas?
Yes, the son of Hamas. We'll be talking about him soon. I know we've been talking about him for some time. It's amazing.
But it's awesome.
It is so amazing. Yeah. Just trying to get, you know, because we want to dedicate an entire, it could be three or four programs to that, just so it's all together so you can actually get, because I love his viewpoint about it, because he was a son of, he was a Muslim, a son of Hamas. His dad was a leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. But his dad was passive in the context of the militant response, but yet moderate and how he knew what happened was going on, the violent part, but he just didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And he said that's kind of worse than actually being it. So he talked about. And then eventually, long story short, he's a Christian today because he found the love of God. Mm. Think about that, the love of God. And the question he talks about in there, he just says, you know, everybody says, you know, what side is God on? And you have Palestinians saying, you know, God's on our side. And the Jews are saying God's on their side. You know, what's God going to do? Is he going to take over Israel? Is he going to take over, you know, Palestine? Is he going to take over all these different areas? And he goes, God didn't come to take sides. He came to take over.
Hey, and if you didn't know, you'll find out.
Yeah. And he came to take over, and that's who he is. Mm-hmm. And all that ground is going to split when his feet touch that mountain, right? And so we're going to be talking about that today, and I'm looking forward to just exploring the reality of the vulnerability of just the arrogance that, you know, that we can struggle with thinking like, hey, this thing's going to go on forever. Mm-hmm. We're against the coal industry, but we don't realize it's actually the burning of coal that turns the wheel, that causes power to come into your home and charge your little iPhone and stuff. And people don't know how to connect. But in regards to power itself, right?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about that actually during a break about how vulnerable. I mean, I don't know of a time that America has been more vulnerable than it is today, but, mm-hmm. you know, every person has, we totally live exposed all the time. You know what I mean? Everybody has vulnerabilities, and vulnerability is a weakness. It's an opportunity for you to be hurt, and you're just kind of naked and exposed. And as I was thinking about this and meditating on just what is happening in our country and with mm-hmm. America and all the things that are, you know, around us, I look at, man, we are so vulnerable. In our own land, you think about what's happening on the borders and what's happening in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people are coming in, you know, all over. And it's not just Mexicans. People come from other countries are going through those borders. You think about the downgrading of our military.
And just standing
out, which is our strength. And it's like, oh, my goodness, we're vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know. But you think about our economy and what Russia was saying. Putin was actually saying that he wants to see the American dollar. Says, you know, totally removed as the number one currency. Mm-hmm. They want to replace the International Monetary Fund. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Friedman from Game Plan mm-hmm. Says that America thinks we're so arrogant that people actually want our $17 trillion debt money. They want American dollars.
Like, well, he said America is so arrogant.
Yes.
That thinks they're arrogant.
Yes, is so arrogant. Mm-hmm. You're right.
What he said.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then you think about that, only 2%.
And he said the reason why they don't want it is because it's so much data tied to it now. It's in the hole.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want my debt? No, I don't want your debt. But if you have some gold, oh, we don't have gold.
But again, America's so arrogant. It's like, yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. You want it. You want it. You want it. Then you think about 2% of the nation actually prepares food for the other 98% of America. Vulnerability here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now, you know, and what's happening is you've just become so prideful. And pride is basically living a life separate from God, independent, self-reliant. We don't need God anymore.
It's like we're being set up for our consequences, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Been set up. When you think about God will show you a king or he'll show you a president and a dream or a vision. And some people think, well, that's the president or that's the... But actually, it represents the nation that they represent.
That's right.
That, you know, that... Because I remember God spoke to you specifically. But think about... That America's getting set up.
No doubt. She's
being set up.
No doubt.
Or a fall if we don't, right?
Well,
pride
yeah.
comes before a fall.
Get ready. I think about James Robinson's word that we have a choice, humility or humiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Choose. But the only way that, you know, we all have these vulnerabilities. The only way we can survive this is by being humble and being totally dependent upon God and trusting in the Lord and doing what's right. Because let me tell you, anything can happen to you at any time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get in a car wreck, and everything changes. You can get a notice, everything changes. Something happens in your home, everything changes. So to live so arrogantly and to think that we can live, you know, I heard, actually it was Leonard Raven who said, the greatest sin that anyone could ever commit, the greatest sin is to try to live a life independent of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what, you know, America's doing, and even... But some believers are doing amongst the church. It's just picking and choosing what we think that we can actually believe and implement in our lives according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
CBN just did a segment,
mm-hmm.
and we have a video for you about how vulnerable the power grid that we have in our country.
No, power grid is where all those wires that connect send power to our houses.
Yeah. Oh,
that.
It's not the light switch, is not.
Right. Okay.
Oh, there's something else behind
yeah,
that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So without the power grid, your house has no, your office has no power, your hospital has no power.
Which means no iPad, no computer, no TV, no lights, no nothing.
No, right? Silicon Valley. As a matter of fact, they're going to talk about Silicon Valley that was vulnerable.
Yes. Well, how?
That's the big question. How? How are we going to protect ourselves?
Yeah.
With all this vulnerability and all these things happening, 2% growing the food for 98%, all these things. How are we going to do that with our military being weak? And how are we going to do this? And you have to understand the only reason it ever worked in the first place. This is the answer. One nation under God.
That's it.
Undivided, which means indivisible, undivided. Mm-hmm. Think about it. And justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
That it has. We have to be. The only way America works, the only way America works in its original intent is with the Constitution.
Right.
With God over it. In the year of our Lord, right?
That's it.
That our rights come from our Creator. So you're just, what we're seeing when you think about all these different things, you're actually seeing how good God's been to this country.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we're talking during a break, it's not, America hasn't, it's not safe because America has the ability to protect herself. The only reason that this hasn't happened already is because of the mercies of God. It's given America the opportunity to repent.
Right.
It really is.
It was saying, too, I mean, you know, this power
grid
or the power plant, not even a plant, but it's where the...
in New York?
Yeah, right there in New York, that if you hit that, the New York Stock Exchange will go out.
Go out and then it'll affect the nation and the world.
The world, because the confidence in the market drops, and next thing you know, people start panicking and pulling their money out. Or Silicon Valley. You know, you hit Google and everything that's ran out of the Silicon Valley area,
right.
You know, goes down, which is probably a lot of integration even there with the New York Stock Exchange. And you think, well, this is so vulnerable. It's always been that vulnerable.
Right.
You don't know this until you've gone through some physical problems and you find out, my goodness, everything in the body has to fire off just like God designed it. If not, you know, you need help in the context of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything in America has to fire off the way it was designed. For everything to be right. And if not, we need help and we need God. And what we're seeing, all these things that we're seeing that we need God. We need to turn back to God. It was God that's kept us safe. All this stuff is wonderful because it reveals to us how good God's been to this country.
That's right.
With all of our problems, all of our, you know, good history and bad history, we kept God up there.
Yeah.
And said, this is one nation under God. That all of our rights come from him, and that we kept on trying to go back to the original intent and stay there in the original intent. And, you know, God's moved mightily, and the world's been touched because of, you know, how God has blessed America. But now we're watching all these things decline. And I think about the very beginning, you can say what you want to, but when God wants you to say what he wants you to say, you know, these words just come out in the context of that. But you think when, an oath of office was being taken. He said, "I promise." What was the word to
defend?
No, it wasn't defend. To execute. I pledged to execute. The Chief Justice messed it up, and then the president repeated to execute the office of the presidency of the United States. So he had to go back and retake it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like a statement was being made to America, saying, "Listen, if we don't turn back to God, God will take this thing down."
Mm-hmm.
You know, a mother would say. You know, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. If you read the Word of God, this is what God says. I brought this nation into this world, and I'll take this nation out. I tell them to stay, and they stay. I tell them to go, and they go.
Read history.
Yeah, and if I plan for them to go because they've done wrong, but if they turn around and start doing what's right, I'll let them stand.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll stop his good plans. I mean, think about it. And we talked about earlier about understanding God as Father. And understanding that he has feelings and he has a response. And, you know, we're created in his image and likeness. He's not like us. We're like him. And we're hurting the heart of God by doing something like that, turning our hearts. So he's like, he's done all this for us, and we're going to pull his name off of everything?
Right. God has indeed blessed America. The true question is, will America bless God? I mean, at this point, you have gratitude and you realize this would be a terrible thing to lose his great country. It would be a terrible thing. To lose this great country, but it can happen, and it's on its way, lest we repent. And really, and the church as well. I mean, looking at the church, it's like, we have a lot of exposure here. We need to humble ourselves and not be sticking out any kind of chest anywhere, you know, and
Statistically, you can prove that because George Barna reports that.
Absolutely.
You know, out of regular church attenders that attend once every 2 weeks or something of that nature, he says that 81% don't even touch what God has to say. Mm. They don't even pick up a Bible at all. 81%.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 19% who do, only 3% of those actually read it in the context, like, I care what God says and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make life decisions based on what God is saying, which means only 3%. Think about that. Only 3%. That's huge. And it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, we need to respond. And that's how you can know. You can know when people are not looking to what God has to say, that means they're not interested in what God has to say. And the question is to ask us as, you know, those that are calling themselves ministers for God, you know, what are we telling folks?
That's right.
What are we saying that's causing people not to be interested? What have we, you know, has our understanding become darkened? Have we fallen into sin? Have we let the enemy threaten us and say, you know, don't speak truth anymore? Are we starting to preach? Can you imagine shedding your blood over an incident and somebody says, you can talk about everything except for their sacrifice. You cannot bring up the fact. I mean, not preaching the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross and him crucified. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, guess what? Our power plants will stand. Our economy will flow. Our ground will produce great harvests out there, and souls will come in and the church will be healthy. Listen, let's turn back to God. Let's turn back to the Lord. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.